Hello, everybody. Good evening. It's Chris and the ABW crew. What a happy time. What a happy chat box we have.
Beautiful. I'm happy.
You're always happy, Danny. Look at the state of that hat, though.
Wee, I'm Sherlock.
I mean, seriously. We're a professional organisation, and you turn up dressed like that?
I thought it was fancy dress. Didn't anyone else get the letter?
No, you're that guy that turns up dressed as Batman, like Fools and Horses, aren't you? The silly thing.
If I ever go to a fancy dress party, do you know what I'm going to go as?
A massive chair.
Big Show.
I'm going to go as an ice cream van.
Oh, dear. Anyway, hello, Danny. How are you?
I'm very happy. Shame it wasn't 6-0.
Oh, fuck off. Hello, Carl. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. And John, how are you?
They're all cunts.
There you go. That's the John we know and love. Right, okay. Well, we'll just get straight into it, shall we? Why not? Why not? Let's just go for gold. Danny, seeing as you look ridiculous, tell us what you think.
I wasn't surprised at the start. I thought it was interesting that Barcelona were just all out attack. It was like 78%. Possession in the first half, in the first 10-15 minutes. I thought, why aren't we doing what we did against Man United? Why aren't we doing what we did against Barcelona, Man City, and all these other teams that we've gone there and given them an early whooping? But then I saw Wenger was being sneaky. He said, my boys, are you listening? I was says it's only once. First 20 minutes, let them do whatever they want. And then we attacked them. We looked fantastic. There was the Giroud. I mean, in the first 5 minutes, there was a Giroud-Ramsey combination, which was very unlucky. And then after 20 minutes, we just had complete control of that game. We had let them have it back for a little while. And I thought, this is looking brilliant. Well, then I was thinking, oh, God, I don't want to be in this competition. I want to be out as soon as possible and do the double. And I really do. And I've been saying that all year. But beating Barcelona home and away through to the next round, I'd be happy with that. I could deal with it. But then the second half, and then we carried on. Nice attacking. I thought the Ox is a little bit silly with his, I don't know what, I'll run down the right wing, and I know Mascherano is one of the slowest creatures on God's green earth. I'll have a newspaper, I mean, I'll put a hat on, I'll have a pipe, and I'll do all this. Like, oh, look, he's caught me up and tackled me. No. And you see, the left-hand side of the pitch, you've got Sanchez and Giroud going, ball, give me the fucking ball! And then they just went, you see the reaction of those two after. They weren't happy. So I thought we played well enough to have won that game, probably 1-0 in the first half, maybe 1-0 in the second half. But then they got that one fluky goal from a dodgy clearance, and then it all fell apart.
Happy days. John, pick up where Danny left off then. Anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. I'm just pissed off, to be honest, because we created enough sort of half chances that we should have done better with, or got ourselves in positions where we should have put in either Giroud or Alexis or, you know, someone else and made something of it. Didn't take it. We were really pressuring Barcelona, and then we give away a really stupid goal. And it was stupid to give, because up until that point, Barcelona had that one chance at the end of the first half with Suarez. Other than that, they were pretty boring to watch, to be honest. I know everyone goes, oh, they're amazing. That's about as exciting as watching West Brom, to be honest. You all kick the ball about. Oh, you're wonderful, aren't you? Fuck off, go play it for Tony Pulis. Boring.
Or Barcelona.
They were crap. I'm sorry.
I agree.
They weren't anything amazing. All right, part of that is down to us and the way we defended. And
we didn't crumble, did we?
No, we were really good. And it's annoyed me more than anything else, because in previous games we've lost because they were just better than us. And tonight it felt more like, no, we just decided to throw the ball away. It's so annoying. And now you saw how the players were at the interview at the end of the game. They looked devastated because they knew that they should have at least got a goal tonight, if not won the game. It really, really frustrating.
Fair. Carl, what do you think of just overall, when you should maybe just touch on whether you think there's sort of any... Saying any hope is a silly thing to say, because there's always hope, because you just never know how a game can go, but it's not a great chance going away with 2-0 defeat at home. So.
No, let's face it, we have to go to the Camp Nou and score 3 goals and not concede. Stranger things have happened, but realistically, no, we're not going to go through. But see, I'm not mad, because I didn't expect to win this game anyway, so that makes me not angry. Like,
I
had little expectation. But I think what makes me a little bit angry is the fact that we had chances to win that game. If Oxlade-Chamberlain played a little bit better, you know, and cross the ball in, like, we're 1-0 up. If he had taken that chance and scored when he missed, kicked the ball and hit straight at the goalkeeper, you know, the game could have changed. But because I had really no expectation, I'm not angry. It's not like we were playing like a hole when I expect to win, or playing a different team and I think, come on now, we're playing at home, we've got to win. I didn't think we was going to win from the start, so I had low expectation. The fact that we didn't win, you know, I'm angry at the fact we didn't win at the end of the game, because we played so well and it was our mistakes that we made that Barcelona scored. Our two goals were down to our mistakes.
That's I agree with you there. That's the biggest thing I took from it. It's the fact that you do so well and then you make two errors which give them the goals. It's not like they create, I mean, they did create a few things, but ironically they had poor finishing as well. But yeah, you, like you say, we gave them those goals. John, this obviously there's a few talking points, but I'll try and just pick out some of them because there's no point going over the whole game stats, although I'm sure Danny will have some for us later. But the Oxlade-Chamberlain miss, I was a bit surprised that he played in the first place. As saying last week, I for me, I thought Ramsey could go right and you could pack the midfield, but we didn't go that way. I mean, what do you reckon? He did seem to rush it. The balls seemed to get caught under his feet. And, you know, I know some people, obviously he should have done better, but is it just one of those things, or symptomatic of our finishing at the moment?
No, he's got a score now. You just, in that position, just elevate it. Either put your foot through it, which he didn't do, you know, really put your lace through it, or just lift it into the top of the net. It's one or the other, and he didn't do either there. It's really annoying, because other than that, I thought the Ox had a really, really good game. I thought he was good going forwards. He was a good outlet for us. Like you, I was a bit surprised he started. I thought there were other options there that Wenger might have gone with, maybe Joel Campbell or Walcott possibly. But he obviously, I thought he made the right call. You know, he got back and he helped out Bellerin. Bellerin, you know, Neymar was non-existent in the first half, basically. And it's a shame he got that knock, because I thought other than that, he had a really good game. But it's so frustrating, because if that goal goes in, it's completely different atmosphere. The team's got some belief in it. And you could see we were getting good chances against them. You know, like, whether it was Oxlade-Chamberlain or Sanchez, they were causing problems down the wing for Barca, because you know their fullbacks are going to push on. But, yeah, for me, he's got to score that.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair reflection. And, Danny, what about the sort of the general creativity department? I mean, we didn't have a lot of the ball, but as I said to my mate Gaz, who messaged me at halftime and said, you know, Barca have had all the ball. And I said, yeah, well, we're familiar with that, aren't we, as Arsenal fans, having all the ball and doing basically fuck all with it, which is what Barcelona did for a good 60 minutes. So is it just the fact that we're not clinical enough and haven't been for several weeks?
It's hard to put your finger on exactly what the problem was. I remember at one point the possession was 28%, 32%, 68%. And then it was 99 passes to 299 completed passes. But you look at the fact that Koscielny and Mertesacker, up until the goals, up until we fell apart, they kept Suarez out of the game. Suarez had an opta rating of 6.6. Messi got a 9.2. But the only two disappointing things about the game was the Ox shit in his pants, and he said he took three touches before he had two touches, then a shot on goal, which is, you cannot do that against the greatest team in the world. And as much as I hate them, they are, you can't even argue against that. There's no team in the world that can really touch them. And for him to think he can take two, three touches in the penalty area, and then the goalkeeper's virtually laying down, having a snooze, and he kicks it at the goalkeeper. I mean, I don't know if he panicked, whether he's no good, whether he's just stupid, or whether the occasion got the better of him. That was really annoying. And I thought Ozil was absolutely dog shit tonight. His corners were pointless. His free kicks were effortless. He did absolutely nothing the entire bloody game. And yeah, I mean, he got an opta rating of 6.3 and Giroud got one of 6.2. I thought Giroud worked his arse off again today. He was back defending. He was holding up the midfield. He was trying to attack. He was trying to do 1-2s. It makes me wonder where they get these opta ratings from, because opta must be bloody blind. But Sanchez got a 7.9. I don't think he deserved a 7.9. Ramsey was unlucky. He had a couple of decent chances. But yet again, we say all season, up until the point where they scored the goals, we've been saying all season, how many points does Cech save us per season? How many goals did he save us in this game? He was just absolutely fantastic there. There's not much he could have done about either of the goals, was there?
Not really. I kind of agree with some of that, and particularly the whole... I know Olivier Giroud's getting a lot of stick at the moment, and I'll touch on him in a minute, but everyone's
getting stick?
Yeah, who would have thought?
Just a little stat on Sky on BT. Between their front three, 93 goals and 44 assists this season.
Beautiful.
Most teams in the world don't have that, let alone between three players.
No, but most teams in the world, Danny, don't get to play some of the shit they play in Spain. Sorry, Tom.
Oh, Tom's in his grave.
I'm sorry. I think, to be fair, actually, I think even Tom would admit some of the teams are pretty shit. It's just, you know, it doesn't mean the league is as boring as people give it, as people say.
It's pretty boring. Sorry, Tom.
I was trying to be nice.
How many of those Barcelona back five would get into the top Premier League sides? I don't think any of them would.
Not many.
I thought they were all shit.
Gerard Pique, for me, is just so bog average.
United failure.
Yeah, well. But yeah, just with regards to the Oxlade-Chamberlain chance, I can understand people's frustration, and I agree with what you and John have both said. I think it's a get it out of your feet and hit it early, and I think if that falls to Sanchez, it probably is in the net. What I would say is these people are saying we need to buy a striker. Newsflash, Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't a striker, and he was the one that ball fell to. So if that doesn't fall to a striker, if that falls to Giroud, I'm pretty sure that he lifts it.
Theo wouldn't even have got a shot on target.
Or he would have smashed it in off the bar and looked like the world's greatest striker because he didn't have time to think. You just never know, do you? Carl, what do you make of touching Alexis from an attacking point of view? Again, tonight, he you can't fault his work, right? You know, he worked his ass off and he got up and down. He did switch off a couple of times, but I think it's sort of fair to say it's not his best quality going backwards. But what do you make of him as a force? There's still something not quite right there, and he does still give that ball away, doesn't he?
Yeah, since he's come back from injury, he's not played the best. You know, and it's not me Sanchez bashing, it's just that he hasn't played well since he's come back. Although in this game, you know, he could tell he was trying to impress his old employers. You know, he was trying to get up and down that pitch. And there was one time when I think Messi sort of had the ball and he trapped back and he managed to get the ball from Messi and draw the foul, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. You know, there's not a player, I think, in the Arsenal squad apart from him that would have done that. For some reason, it's just not clicking with him. I don't know what it is. I don't know, you know, if he's still... I doubt he's still having hamstring trouble because obviously he wouldn't play. But there's just something not clicking with him. And it's not worrying, but we're coming to the business end of the season where we're going to need him more than ever. And I'm kind of hoping he finds his form very, very quickly because with these games coming thick and fast, you know, we've got like the Scum coming up and we've got Man United on Sunday. You know, we're going to need him. We really are.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Danny, I'll come back to you quickly on this one. With regards to the sort of the setup of the team with the, you know, Coquelin-Ramsey combination, I flip between thoughts on Ramsey. I thought his work rate was exceptional.
They said the first half he ran more than any other player.
He did, which is absolutely fantastic. But
who ran, apart from the goalkeepers, do you hear who ran the least?
Messi, yeah. Yeah. But then when you're that good, you can. But
that's exactly what the commentator said.
The thing that frustrates me with Aaron, and I suppose it's a criticism, I'm just trying to be objective. His engine is fantastic. His work rate is great. I thought his defensive nous was excellent today. And I'll be honest, he showed me a side of him that I didn't realise he could perform at this elite level in that role because he does go walkies too much. But it's no good having such a good engine if you just give the fucking ball away. And he does it time and time again where he gets back and he wins the ball and then just plays an aimless pass. And I just think that maybe that's...
Especially the first half.
Yeah.
It was Barcelona. We're going pass, running down the pitch, pass. We'd get the ball, pass, lob. Oh, they've got the ball back. Pass, lob. Oh, we've lost the ball again. But to give you an analogy on how Ramsey must feel, if I'm making chocolate cakes, I'm saying to myself the entire time, don't eat the chocolate. Don't eat the chocolate. Now, poor old Ramsey is playing in central midfield. He sees that Ozil is having a fucking mare and he's going to himself, don't go in the Ozil role. Don't go in the Ozil role. Don't do it. Just don't go in the... And he's in the Ozil role. And then he goes, oh, now there's no one in midfield. Now I'm going to get told off for that. So now I've got to try even harder. He got an opta rating of 6.3, which I think he was a little bit better than that. But yeah, you're right. You cannot against team, well, against any decent teams, you can't keep giving the ball away. If you're not sure, hold on to it. Do a Ray Wilkins, the crab, pass it sideways, pass it back, but don't just have speculative shots trying to pick out Giroud or Sanchez or Ozil from the halfway line. Maybe one in ten of those is going to come off, and then you've got Busquets in the middle drinking his tea and biscuits, running the entire bloody thing. It's nice to see Rakitic was rubbish. So it wasn't just Arsenal players.
No, shame, because I love him. I suppose the frustration from Ramsey's point of view is, some of our crowd at times, some of our supporters, if you play a backwards pass, they all boo. So I suppose you can't really win. But yet when Coquelin passes the ball sideways, no one seems to mind. So I guess it's a bit of a perception of a player rather than what they can actually do. But John, talking defensively, I mean, something that did impress me, particularly in the first half, was our ability to manage the game. And what I mean by that was we pressed at the right times, we pressed in the right ways, and we seemed to be quite savvy in when to tackle, when to sit off, when to go to the ball. I mean, that's got to show that we are learning at this elite level, surely. I know some people would say we should have learnt by now, but it was a good sign. We weren't embarrassed, were we, as we have been previously?
No, I mean, up until the goals we conceded, we were tight at the back. They got in. The only real sort of clear-cut chance I can remember getting was the Suarez header that he put just wide. And that's come from a perfectly pinged 60-yard ball and then another cross that's inch-perfect as well. And sometimes you just can't do anything about that. Other than that, I thought the shape of the team was good. We were compact at the right times. Oxlade-Chamberlain was coming near enough as another centre mid when we were defending down our left-hand side and the whole team was shuffling across together. Giroud was coming in and helping out defensively. He was pushing and pressing the ball with other players and not just on his own, tiring himself out. So all of that part was good. And then just for, a minute in the game, we just completely forgot to do it. And that's what cost us.
And Carl, the first goal, having been so compact, I thought Mertesacker and Koscielny as a partnership were really good for a long period in the game. But at this level, Per went into a challenge that, he went to ground, which was, a poor choice. And his positioning, I'm not really sure why he was in that position. He was very, very high. Do you think that was just as a result of the fact that we'd had a good spell? We'd had a good 5 minutes. We were pushing and trying to get that goal. And then all of a sudden it was like charge of the light brigade. It was like Swansea all over again. And that cost us. So do you put that down to Per, or do you put it down to a team being too enthusiastic at that point?
For me, don't you think it was a carbon copy of what he did against Chelsea?
Yeah, I did think that, yeah.
It absolutely was a carbon copy, and he didn't learn. Tactically, you have to understand, and Per needs to know his limitations. Per is not fast enough to play that high up the pitch. Now, if Arsene Wenger is not drilling this into his head, I don't know what he's doing. Against a team like Barcelona, I don't know why he's playing that high anyway. And Per's got to know that he's not fast enough to play that high up the pitch. I mean, if he makes that challenge and he gets the ball, we all say, oh, brilliant, Per, it's absolutely brilliant. And I would as well. But you have to know that you're playing against the best front three, probably maybe of all time, and our centre-backs just went missing, both of them. Because as soon as that goal went in, I tweeted, where was our centre-backs? Both of them went missing. You can't leave a massive hole like that in the middle. I don't get it. And I think you're right, Chris. It was a fact that, he was having a good spell. And I think, they were just creeping forward and forward and forward. And against a team like Barcelona, you have to be switched on all the time. Otherwise, they'll punish you like they did to us.
And the weird thing is, of course, a 0-0, whilst it sounds a bit crap, was probably quite a good result had it have remained. But
I would have taken a 0-0 going into the new camp, and that should have been on their minds as well. It was just literally, I know we've gone on, but he didn't learn from the Chelsea, what happened at Arsenal against Chelsea. And if you look at his positioning, it's exactly the same as what happened.
I'd like to see how many players were in front of the ball when it went as well. I need to freeze frame that. But Danny, you've got a tweet from somebody. Just want to have a look.
Yeah, someone's gone to the bother of sending me a massively long tweet. So if you're listening, Jazz Tehara, what does it say in his thing? All roads lead to the Chappelle Show. Ah, Joe Rogan keeps going on about that. Right, he says, nothing shocking in that game. Held on for 70 minutes and got punished. Looking for goals, naive yes, but no major cause for concern. Roll on Sunday. By the way, we have held them if we'd have stayed disciplined, which is very true. And then he's added two more. He says, and played for the 0-0. Hopefully we smash the Manx, which I can easily see happening. And also got someone else has been tweeting me all night. His name is... oh, can't find it. Where is he? That's annoying. Oh, here you go. Adil Shaikh. No idea how you fucking say that. Trevor to his mates. He's been telling me just to go on a fucking moany rant. And so it's... that's good. Yeah, yeah. I think he's got a good point.
Well, let me ask you another question from Twitter then, while you're there. Whole lot of voltage, which is...
Oh, yeah, he tweeted us all, yeah.
Yeah, great, love it. Can you touch on what's going on with our attack tactically? And I think, I may be wrong, but I think what he's getting at there, he or she, is it seems to me like we're drifting back to that kind of one-way approach. We don't seem to have a plan B, which I hate that saying because it's so old, but... We do seem to have that mentality of we will pass through you, and if we can't pass through you, then we won't bother. And it was evident against Hull, and it was evident again today. You know, we weren't prepared to put a cross in, and when we did, we only put a cross in when it was Giroud on his own in the middle. And yet, when we had men in the box, we tried to play through. So, is there something tactically a little bit naive about the way we attack teams?
More stubborn than I think naive. I think it's just that's one thing that's always been annoying about Wenger. His 68th minute substitutions. The if plan A doesn't work, refer to back to plan A, and that's it the whole time. One thing I just put in our little thing there that I'm surprised. I didn't realise Barcelona made no substitutions, which I thought was quite weird. I mean, they were playing really well, but they didn't get desperate near the end. And while we brought Flamini on, and that's another thing that Wenger does. He likes to bring on defensive midfielders when we need goals. So we're 1-0 down. We're 1-0 down, and then we bring on, I know you're going to come to this in a minute, because it's an important part of the game. But the tactics thing of yet again, either brings people on too late or he brings on the wrong people. Why, when you're looking for a goal, do you bring on Flamini and all he's not going to score a goal. He's not going to do anything like that. And the only slight thing is maybe then he said to Ramsey, right, go and get forward a little bit more. I don't know if he did. Ramsey hasn't got back to me. Well, I haven't got his number anymore, not since the incident. But, yeah, why do you do that? When you look on the bench, you got Campbell. Now, why not push let Campbell play Campbell up front? Like we did against, what team was it recently? And he put Mesut back into the central midfield. And I thought it looked pretty good because he was spraying the passes all over the place. He needed someone to go up front with Walcott and terrorise that attack and Welbeck. So I'd have maybe put Joel Campbell on there. But you don't bring on Flamini. What's he going to do to a game? If you want to defend a 1-0 lead, brilliant substitution. But if you're chasing a goal and you know you're not going to win the away leg, then don't bloody bring Flamini on. It's just like, getting back to your point, Wenger is stubborn, and I don't know why. Never understood some of the substitutions that he's made. And you're on about our defensive ones. When we our central defenders, when that goal near the partway through the second half, and then Koscielny was our furthest forward player that time when we bounced the ball off about three people and we nearly scored. What is Koscielny doing that far forward? Because that means Mertesacker is at the back on his own, and then he can get turned, like he did with the first goal. Because Mertesacker went over to the right-hand side to try and stop him, and they just put the ball past him. And then you've got one person running from midfield, I can't remember who it was, running back for their life, trying to get it. Then they put the ball past him as well, and then you're one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and you're thinking, oh, for God's sake, don't either of the centre-backs go any further than the halfway line, because you cannot get back. If you've got Mertesacker or Koscielny trying to go against four or five of the Barcelona front five, they're not going to beat him in a sprint back to the penalty area, are they, to try and stop him? So don't do it. But they keep doing it. I don't want to see my central defenders trying to score a goal.
It's a bit of a strange change, because I think I understood why he brought Flamini on. To bring him on
£50 at 2-0.
No, I think to bring him on for Coquelin was the bit that confused me, because you'd have thought he would have brought him on. If he looked at the game and thought, you know what, we're a goal down, this, you know, we can do something. If we go to the Nou Camp only a goal down, we're in this. So let's almost protect a 1-0 loss. If you'd have brought him on for Ramsey,
so
for
example, Wenger, though, isn't it? Protect a 1-0 loss at home.
Well, yeah, but you can see my point, can't you? I mean, if
I can see your point, and he knows better than both of us. So I can't say he's wrong, because all the stuff I've won is on Championship Manager, and I haven't won anything on there since 2010. It's disgraceful. I need sacking.
Because you haven't bought anything since 2001. That's why.
But we're questioning a man who is a footballing genius. But there's just little things like that just make me wonder. I mean, we shouldn't ever say anything to him, should we?
But you're saying he's a football genius, but sometimes he can get things wrong.
Oh, of course.
You know, he's not. You know, I love Arsene Wenger, I do. I'm not Wenger in, I'm not Wenger out. But, you know, he does get things wrong sometimes. And, you know, today, you know, we have to say he got it wrong. You know, tactically, how we started, brilliant. Couldn't ask for more. You know, look what we've done to Barcelona. We nullified them, and we actually did. But, you know, that substitution, in hindsight, is a wonderful thing. But, you know, I think every single person could see that that was a wrong substitution to make.
I think Tom's made the point that Coquelin was spent, but with 8 minutes to go, it does make you wonder. And I know a lot of people have said, oh, you should have brought on Chambers. It's very easy to say that when you're sat at home or sat in the stands. It's very easy to say.
Just the Flamini thing, I know people are moaning because he gave away the penalty and it was a really stupid tackle. Why the fuck is Mertesacker doing a 2-yard pass in the box?
Yeah.
Flamini doesn't have to do that thing. Kick the ball out. Mm. He's got long enough legs, isn't he? This is a bloke who's won a World Cup. He's, you know, do the right thing. Just clear the ball.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't personally blame Flamini for the penalty. He's just come into the game and he's basically forced to...
Oh, the challenge was fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah, of course it was.
Hit, but why Mertesacker isn't doing... I'll just knock it down in the box. It's only Messi, Suarez and Neymar. It'll be fine.
Mm. It's like Boitendia said, it should have been a first touch away, shouldn't it? It shouldn't have been a touch to break down. It should have just been away. You wanted to comment on the attack as well?
Yeah, I know a lot of people have sort of complained about Giroud and said he could have done better in a couple of situations. And yeah, there's right. There was the one where he's put stole the ball off Piqué, and it was Piqué Mascherano, and he decided to pass it out to the right wing, thinking Walcott was there or something. When he had Ozil and Ramsey inside, or he could have gone for a shot himself. And he made a few errors like that tonight, but I actually thought he had a good game. And I think that the reason why we were sort of neutered in attack is that our team now looks to pass the ball to Ozil as much as possible, which you would do because he's a fantastic player. But tonight he didn't turn up. I saw him do two things all night that I, you know, one was moan constantly, throwing his arms up in the air, complaining, looking at the other players. Well, you know, that's great, Mesut, but you've got to do something yourself. And the only thing I actually enjoyed watching him do was when he kicked Dani Alves. And that was it. Because the rest of the game, he wasn't in it. He may as well have not played. I mean, Walcott was the same when he came on. He won a header, like that was the first touch. That amazed me. I had to do a double take to see it was actually him. Then after that, he wasn't even in the game. So I don't think you can dig out someone like Giroud, who's played most of the season, was really good defensively today. You know, there was the bit where he was back in defence and cleared, you know, made the fantastic block on Messi, get to the byline, things like that. You know, he's winning knockdowns in the box against two or three players on his own, and no one's in there to try and get on the end of it to score the goal. He can't do much else. I don't know what you want from the bloke. You know, when you've got a £42.5 million player who's just whinging the whole way through the game. And I love Mesut, and he's been amazing this season, but the reason you pay that money and you pay him that much a week is because in the big games, he's got to turn up. He's got to turn it on. Like Sanchez,
make the difference.
Yeah, Sanchez wasn't amazing tonight, don't get me wrong, but he ran his arse off and he tried. And I know Mesut isn't that type of player, but sometimes you've just got to pull your socks up and go, you know what, I can't do all the fancy tricks and passes and everything tonight. I'm just going to have to get stuck in, win the ball back and try and do something and make something happen myself. And that's what you have to expect from your big players, and he didn't do it tonight. That is not good enough.
Do you think that maybe if you manage to do that whole game and then edit the referee out of it and go to someone at the end of that game, how many bookings do you reckon Barcelona got? And if you told them they got one booking in the 85th minute, do you know, that was just disgusting. Does anybody know whether Jordi Alba is still alive after the way that he was nearly murdered by nobody?
We'll come on to that in a minute.
Oh, I was going to ask you if it's on your list of stuff to cover. Go on.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list. We'll definitely touch on that in a second. But I just want to sort of get a feel for where what we do. And Raj made a good point in our group earlier on. And it's an easy thing to say, but the second leg now, realistically, it's a very you know, it's a very daunting task to go there and, you know, because you've not only got to score twice, you've got to not concede, and I would certainly not put any money on us doing that. I could see us scoring over there, but to not concede, I think, is very, very low odds. So what do you say, Carl? I'll come to you. What's your views on what side you send out there? Because you don't want to send out a scratch team and get murdered. There's the pride of the badge. You know, you want to put up a bit of a fight and at least go there and try and make some sort of show of the second leg. So it puts the manager in a bit of a predicament, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, I'm just looking at the fixtures we've got around that. We've got West Brom at home, Barcelona away, and then Everton away. I personally, you got to go to win. You know, no matter what, you got to go out to Barcelona to win. But I wouldn't go with... No, actually, yeah. Do you know what? I would go with our first string. I would. I wouldn't go with a team that... Like a team that played against Hull. I wouldn't. Because if that team can't beat Hull at home... Imagine what they're going to do imagine what's going to happen in the new camp. So I would go with a very strong squad. You know, I would go with Ozil play. I would go with...
And you think we beat them 3-0?
No, we're not going to win. I know we're not going to win.
Why bother then?
Because I don't want to get murdered. Like, imagine...
We didn't want to get murdered against Bayern, played our best team and got murdered.
But imagine what the press is going to say tomorrow. You know, oh, brilliant Messi. Messi was shit today, but they're going to go on about how good Messi was. If we go to their new camp and we get beat 5-6-7-0, which is quite possible if we play a weakened team. I would go with different players. Like, I wouldn't start Giroud. I'd probably go with Welbeck up front. Theo Walcott wouldn't get into the team for me. I'd probably go maybe Campbell. The sort of the back four picks itself. You know, you have to. But I would go with a fairly strong squad. Just mix and match a little bit.
You've got to be a bit careful, because if you look at the stick that Pellegrini's getting for basically throwing a game, you know, that can have a very adverse effect. And I know people are gonna lynch me for this, but I'll say it anyway. We all saw what happened when we went out there and Van Persie got sent off. It completely changed a game that we were in. And I'm not for a minute saying that this is likely, but you turn up with a full strength side and you get a lucky break of the ball and one of your players is through on goal 5 minutes in and they get a red card and you get a goal and it's suddenly a very, very different game. Equally, you know, you turn up and you lose 3-0 with a full strength side and it's a null and void point. But I kind of want to have our strongest side out there on the you know, the very rare or very unlikely sort of thought that something could happen that may turn the game. And you just never know, do you? You know, you just never know. If we play like we did tonight, and you go over there and you keep it tight to half-time and you nick a goal, then, you know, it's unlikely. It's unlikely. Even though I'm very positive, I'll admit it's unlikely, but, you know, that's what we do. John, let's touch on the magnificent, glorious, footballing, stunning brilliance that is Barcelona. Throwing themselves to the floor after every challenge. Last time I checked, football was a contact sport. Apparently that is no longer the case. Whinging, moaning, constant gamesmanship. What's your thoughts? Because to me, the thing that frustrates me the most about it is they are better than that. All of their players are very, very good. They don't have to resort to that, and it's the same characters every time.
It's annoying and it's frustrating, especially when you play against it and it's your team getting, I don't want to say cheated out of it, because it's not, I suppose it's considered cheating, but the simple fact is that's European football, and it has been like that for over a decade now. It's the way the referees will officiate the game, unless you are, it would never happen to us because we're an English team, but an English referee in a European game will be a little bit more lenient, and maybe from Germany as well, as that game's a bit more physical there. But generally, refs from everywhere else, they will pull up every time a player goes down, makes a noise, you know, complains, and that's what Barcelona are good at. They'll game the referee. It's annoying and I don't like it, but the simple fact is this has been going on for a long, long time, and until you accept that fact and you either ignore it or you join in, there's no point complaining about it. It pisses me off and I don't like it, but you do one or the other. Like the best example I can give is when Giroud didn't react at all to Alba sticking his face in his head or anything else. That was perfect.
And how didn't he get a booking for the dive and for the attack on Giroud?
Yeah, I mean, that is frustrating, and he should have been booked, and that was bad officiating. There's no doubt about that. But the simple fact is, complaining about them rolling about on the floor and whinging to the ref and singling for a card and everything else, that's been going on for 10 years in European competition. I don't know why people think this is new. We'll get annoyed because if we lose a game and we see decisions go against us, we'll be, oh, well, the ref was shit, blah, 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 and everything else. It happens every week. So, you know, you just have to be smarter to it and get on with it. Gary Neville said it, and Paul Scholes and whatever, and he said it about the national teams as well. International football happens exactly the same thing there. It's why English teams don't do great, or it's one of the factors of why English teams don't do well in Europe. Because they won't do that sort of thing. You just have to abuse that system. I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with it, and it really annoys me. And if it was me, I'd love to have just, you know, grabbed Alba around the throat and just kept punching until there was nothing left. But you know, and the weird thing is that, like, Biscuits isn't a small bloke. Neither is PK. Mascherano is one of the scariest men I've ever seen in my life. He looks like he would quite happily carve people up in front of his own kids for a laugh, and just, like, it wouldn't faze him at all. But he'll roll about on the floor and everything.
I was going to say, yeah, he's a little bitch, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's...
He's a little bitch who can't even pay his taxes, by the way.
it's part of the game, unfortunately. That's the game in Europe, and you have to get on with it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. As I say, it bothers me that the media and whatnot will be licking arse about how good they are. And I genuinely thought, and Danny, I'll ask you on this, I genuinely wasn't impressed by Barcelona. I really wasn't. I mean, we've gifted them, well, not gifted is maybe a strong word, but we've given them the opportunity to score two goals. Suarez has bottled it massively, I think, tonight. You know, two clear-cut chances that he's... You know, if that's Giroud missing those chances, he gets absolute pelters. And yet Suarez is apparently the best striker in the world at the moment and you know, can score from 2 yards twice. So, I mean, you know, Barca didn't impress me at all, and they haven't been great in La Liga, that Tom's been saying, the past few weeks. And there was almost an element of them turning up and just thinking, well, we're going to win. It's just a question of when, wasn't it? And it's just, I don't know. What did you think of their performance as a whole?
Well, just looking at the results, it's their 32 games unbeaten. The last time they lost was the 3rd of December. 3rd of October, is that right?
Have sounds I got it
all
right?
It's all competitions, yeah. 3rd of October against Sevilla. They lost 2-1 away. But I think I remember the commentator saying that they lost a couple. They've lost three games all season, I think, is what he said. Tom's probably nodding.
Celta, Athletic Bilbao in the Copa del Rey.
Bilbao, yeah, and they said because of beginning of the season. Yeah. No, I wasn't overly impressed by them. But you look at the teams that they Las Palmas they played at the weekend. I take it they put out a reserve team. Sporting Gijón, and then Celta Vigo, Valencia, Levante, Valencia, Atletico Madrid, which I suppose is the last tough game, and the 30th of January. And the rest of those have all been not really hard games. It's hard to know what you're going to do against them, because first of all, you've got to take away the fact that you're going to be scared by them. It's like seeing a big hairy spider. You know it's not going to do anything to you, but you're still going to be scared of it, unless you're John, who's got one in his room at the moment. Oh, terrible. Told him to raise
it. Oh, it's gone now, I can't see it.
I told you to make a raisin out of it, but he's not listening. He's not taking my wise words. But Arsenal definitely didn't shit the bed today. I think we were unlucky with the referee. You never hear me moaning about the referee. The referee didn't do his job. At one point, the referee was talking to Meza, and Meza probably speaks Turkish because his family, I think his mum and dad are from Turkey, or his grandparents are from Turkey, and so there should have been a little bit of kinsmanship there. But we got absolutely nothing off the referee, did we? The referee was just... They should have had about four or five yellow cards. They're again saying that. I think Coquelin was lucky that he didn't get a yellow card because did he really have one for us? No, it was Monreal. Yeah. Already had one early in the game. But that point, I'm sure you know the point in the game where Coquelin took someone out. I mean, went to get the ball and he slid and he got the ball with the flat of his foot. And then whoever there was, the Barcelona player, rolled around like he'd been shot. And yet again, if the referee would have done those for play acting, diving, and that assault, which is probably an assault on Giroud, if he'd have done them for that, it would have been a very different game, because they'd have, even if they were only had one yellow, about four or five players would have had one yellow, they'd have had to be a lot more careful. And then, but they're just unlucky with that first goal. And if Flamini had started the game, Flamini wouldn't have given away that penalty, would he? He just wasn't into the match. Mm. He hadn't got into his swing and the thing, and he's trying to get on there and make a difference with one goal down and then gives away a penalty and then it's all over. There's not much else you can do. But no, I wasn't impressed with Barcelona. I think their back five, very average. Only two of their central midfield or their midfielders were any good, and only two of their forwards were any good. So you'd have thought, looking back at that and the ratings, and if you didn't know the score and you looked on the ratings of Barca, you'd probably have gone 0-0. But no, unlucky.
Mm. I should say, coming to you, Carl, at this point, a lot of people are saying, oh, Giroud didn't do this, Giroud didn't do that. We'll touch on the forwards in a second. But he did bring out a very, very good save, I thought, from Ter Stegen, who largely was untested for long periods. But I thought it was a really good save, given that he had very little to do. Giroud did everything he could to hit that home.
Yeah, see, I honestly think Giroud needs someone playing up top with him, because, you know, he's getting really, really good at these little knockdowns and flicks downs, and there are times he's doing it and there's no one in the box. There was a time when he got up and he rose perfectly, flicked it down, and there was no one in the box, no one near him. And you're thinking, like, Theo, where are you? Get into the box. But no, Theo was, I don't know, signing the ting or doing something, I don't know. But I just don't, you know, Giroud needs someone to play up top with him that's going to react to his little flick downs and knockdowns, because that's what he's doing now. That seems to be his game, which is really good. You know, he'd done it against Bournemouth, I think, for Ozil. And another game, I can't remember what it was.
Leicester one, wasn't it? The little flick from that little flick.
So he's doing that. So if you're on a team, you train with him every day. Clearly, he must be doing this in training. Why is no one in the box with him thinking, oh, yeah, he's going to flick it down, I've got a chance here? You know, and that's what the frustrating thing is. You know, just basic mistakes that we're making. And the Giroud, for me, people Giroud bash all the time. I think it's been said on here and also on the podcast, at what Giroud does, there is nobody better in the world. Nobody. I don't care what anyone says. Yes, he is a striker, and his main role is to put the ball in the back of the net. And, okay, he's not doing that. But what he does, nobody better. These little flick downs, and you just need someone to react to them. And if Theo had any sense, he would be in that box thinking, shit, got to get in there.
I agree with that. I agree with everything you said there. And I, you know, I it really frustrates me that when you say that Giroud is one of the best in the world at what he does, I totally agree with you. And I've had pouters for saying it myself, but I'm completely with you. What he's not going to do is what your fashionable strikers do. But what he does do for us and in a team environment, he is vital. The one thing I would say is that, as you say, he needs a runner. You know, he needs somebody to latch onto that. And, you know, that pass that he played behind Walcott, granted it was a poor ball, but you could see what he was trying to do. You could see that he fully expected Walcott to be on his outside, and yet, for some strange reason, Walcott ran into the space where Giroud was already in. It was a bit of an odd one, that. But, Danny, what do you think sort of heading into Sunday, to sort of the backlash of this? I mean, do you see it affecting us? Do you see there being an issue, you know, heading into that game, or do we just kind of brush it off and go, well, we didn't necessarily expect too much from tonight? Or do the players get affected by working so hard and ultimately getting nothing?
Well, talking about that, just looking in our WhatsApp group, you've got Dom and Raj having a chat, and Dom says, Welbeck looks up and about, though, would you give him a start over Giroud in the game? And Raj says, I would 1-0, lots of 0% start Welbeck on Sunday. He won't need motivating for that game. So I agree with both of them there, that I think Giroud has not scored in 7. Like John was just saying, he's got a couple of brilliant assists, but we're not playing to his aerial prowess, which he was known for when he was at Montpellier, which we have. I mean, that last season at Montpellier, I think he might have got 14 goals from headers. Not sure, that might have been over his last two seasons there. But we very rarely, even if we're desperate, we don't make full advantage of Giroud's height, which we, and you saw in the last few games, like they were saying, that the knockdown to Walcott and the knockdown to Mesut was absolutely fantastic. It was just things like that. Doesn't matter if he doesn't score a goal. If he doesn't score a goal for the rest of the season, but he carries on getting assists like that when we really need them, that is more than enough. But do we play him on Sunday? I'd play Welbeck, because you look what Welbeck did. He scored the goal against Leicester, and the goal before that he scored was against Man United, and hopefully he can do that again. But he's definitely going to be up for it. I thought he looked good tonight when he came on, and Giroud is just running his arse off, and I think maybe we need to play a slightly different style of football, because Giroud can't spend the whole game running all the way back defending, running in the midfield by passing and breaking up play, running up front trying to pass to himself so he can get a shot on target. Giroud is working far too hard and not getting the rewards from all that hard work he's putting in.
And then John, on the flip side of that, I mean, I'm kind of with Danny. I think I'd be tempted to throw Welbeck in against United, but I'm not 100% sure. I'd be more tempted to possibly play him as a wide forward and stick with Giroud, mainly because Man United's centre-half partnership of Blind and Smalling. Smalling's probably the better in the air, but Blind is susceptible in the air, and I wonder if you can get Giroud in those knockdowns, bearing in mind they've got two children at full-back at the moment. Surely that will give some licence for the Sanchez and potentially the Welbecks to come in. So what would you look to do in that department?
Yeah, no, I'd play Welbeck on the right because I assume that Oxlade-Chamberlain's probably not going to be fit for the game on Sunday because he looked like he was really struggling with that knock. And yeah, keep Sanchez on the left, and I'd keep Giroud up top because I can't remember who their two fullbacks are. They've got someone I don't know who their right back is at the moment. Is Darmian fit?
Don't think he is. They got Borthwick, Jackson.
Oh, right, yeah.
They've got two more injuries the other night as well.
Tootie, whatever his name is, at right back, and they've got Donald Duck at left back.
That's it, Donald Duck, yeah, I was just going to say that.
And then they've got Daly. I'm a midfielder, but, you know, Van Gaal's such a genius manager, I'm going to play him at centre-back.
Daily blind, yeah.
Yeah. And Chris Smalling, who weirdly has probably been one of the best defenders in the league this season, which I'd never say.
And potentially Sergio Romero in goal as well, depending on...
Yeah, so I'd go out and terrify the crap out of Donald Duck with Danny Welbeck, who looked brilliant, I thought, when he came on. He looked very good in the game before. He was unlucky with a little bit of skill in the box where he went to pull it back and unfortunately couldn't get it through to anyone, but he looked bright when he came on, and I like what he gives because he works hard and he will change positions and he does get into the box because he's got that striker's mentality. But I tell you what I wouldn't give to have 25 year old Ian Wright. I bet he'd love to play up front with Giroud with the way he knocks the ball down.
Yeah. Man United have got amazing. 14 players out injured at the moment.
There you go.
Ideal. So pretty much by Sunday they'll have 14 available. Last night they played Varela at right back, Borthwick Jackson at left back, who came off at half time, substituted for somebody called Riley.
Riley, I think.
Rachel Riley, possibly. And then Smalling and Blind at centre half with Romero in goal, and the Herrera playing at holding midfield with Schneidlin, which seems a bit of an odd one. So obviously that side will probably be changed. I think you'll see Carrick Sunday, and I think you'll probably see who's the other one? I think you'll see they got Lingard, Mata and Depay and Martial up front. So yeah.
Don't you think it says a lot that we're not talking about Theo playing on the right? Like, for me, I think this says so much. Like, we're all talking about, oh, yeah, who should play on the right, who should play on the left. And not one of us has mentioned Theo. Now, you're saying that they've got two inexperienced fullbacks. Now, in the good old days, you would have said, Theo, play on the right and just run at them. You know, just scare the living daylights out of them. Push them back, push them back, push them back. And we're not talking about Theo. Now, for me, that says so much. And I hate to Theo bash, but... Did he touch the ball more than 10 times in that game? I very highly doubt it. You know, you can't play him up front because can you trust him to play up front? Yes, he's playing against Chris Smalling and Danny Blind. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, get him behind. But when he gets him behind, is he going to do anything? This talk about, oh, don't give him time to think. He's a striker. He's a footballer. Of course he's got to think. He's got to think about where he's going to put the ball. But... for me, it just says so much that we're all sitting here and not one of us has mentioned playing Theo on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's quite a statement, isn't it? Yeah, it is quite a statement. We shall see. It's tough. I suppose we should take a few questions, really, Danny, shouldn't we, before we run off the building? So there's one for John already, which was from Luca Quarter. I think that's how you pronounce that. He said, do you think Arsenal should forget about this Champions League game and focus on Sunday? Because Sunday's massive 3 points. And go for goal, John, because I do think on the grand scheme of things, a win on Sunday, and we've kind of forgotten about this, haven't we?
Yeah, they need to go out. it's not just about winning on Sunday now. I think because you saw the way I saw Ramsey and Mertesacker being interviewed after the game, they looked really disappointed, like proper crestfallen. And they also, I've never really seen either of them do this, but they quite dug out the fact that we wasted a lot of opportunities up front and that we needed to score and that we had plenty of opportunities. So I think there was maybe a little bit of stick coming from within the team that people hadn't done what they need to. So I don't think it's just about the win. I think it's about the performance. So we really need to go out and really put it to Man United. You know, this, if we could repeat sort of the 3-0 from early in the season, do something like that, really hammer them, we need that big boost again. Because it's a couple of weeks away, the Barca game. If we can get that good result on Sunday, and then we've got the league fixtures and trying to fit in the FA Cup thing and whatever, plus with Tottenham coming up as well, it's huge. So you've got to keep that momentum going in the league, because we really cannot afford to slip up at any point in the game, because with the games we've got coming against the teams around us, every point now is so important. You know, because I was trying to think of like what you asked the question to Carl earlier about resting players maybe for the second leg, whether you do it or not. And I was thinking, oh, maybe you could rest for the West Brom game before the Barcelona game. But even that, I'm not sure I'd want to rotate in that at any point in the league. I think you have to go out first team every time now. So, yeah, it's a huge game. So hopefully just start concentrating on that and trying to see where all the weaknesses are in that Man United team, which is obviously just the manager for a start. There you go. Long live Van Gaal. May he reign forever in Old Trafford.
Absolutely. I'm quite glad they won last night, so he didn't get sacked, to be honest.
I cheer every time they get a result now. Oh, they got a draw.
Keep it going. It's the Brendan Rodgers effect, isn't it? I got a quick question for Carl, actually, just before we ask another question from the listeners. Carl, this, in light of what happened to Man City's kids at the weekend and Pellegrini prioritising the Champions League, obviously we got the draw with Hull. Does this replay with Hull now become pretty, you know, not serious because it was always serious, but in light of that, have we now got to send the first team to that game? Because if we were still in with a shot, I mean, we are still in with a shot theoretically, but after that result tonight, you've got to think realistically that we're probably going to go out of this stage. So surely that makes that FA Cup run pretty vital now, given that there's no guarantees in the league.
Yeah, we got to go and beat Hull. We have to. I think for Arsene Wenger, it depends on when their fixture is, because it still hasn't been announced. And if it's like 2 days after the Tottenham game is supposed to be, you know, he's going to have... I think he'll go with a team he thinks will win, but not a team that we think will win. You know, we've got to go to Hull on a wet Tuesday, you know, with Ozil, with Giroud, with Alexis, the full first team. And I would play the first team, get the result, then take people off. None of this, you know, playing the second string, oh, we need a goal, let's throw on other players. It's take them off.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I'm with you. Just get the job done and then rest them afterwards. And Hull, you know, whilst they're a decent Championship side, playing away from home in a weird way might actually suit us in that game, because Hull will be expected to put in a performance and hopefully
just
we
blast
can...
them for the first 20 minutes, exactly, get the goals, yeah, get it done. And then you can just see the rest of the game out. Hull will go, right, OK, we can concentrate on the league now. Game's gone, fine.
100%.
Yeah, and they obviously want Championship, you know, they want promotion more than the Cup. So, okay, a couple of other questions then. Let's rattle through these. Viknesh Kumar, Danny, you can have this one. Can we mention the fans? White Cannon appearing in the early parts of the 80 minutes. If anyone should be embarrassed after today, it's those fans. That's quite cutting. I'm half and half on that one, Danny. What do you think?
Well, there's no excuse. Like someone was saying, I think you might have been you lot on the radio show on Sunday, that London Transport doesn't stop working at the kind of times that we're in, so we net, that people have to leave the games really early. Like Raj was saying in the WhatsApp group, saying that people are just leaving early as usual, and it gets really bloody annoying. I think he put in on 80 minutes, people were starting to walk out. I can't find the actual bit that he typed it, because... my hands have fallen off. But yeah, there's no reason. In my entire career of going to games, of 406 games, I left once early, and that was Barnet were losing 5-1 to York City, and my mate said, let's go. There was hardly anybody there, so we went. never again, never do it. Because like in the Leicester game, people were leaving again on the 80th minute. And what did you miss? You missed the last goal, the winning goal of a fantastic game. And that Welbeck headed goal is going to go down as one of the best goals he's ever scored for us. So you miss stuff like that, and it used to really annoy me. If we have to put in the kind of things that come down over your heads, like on roller coasters, and you stay there until the fucking game's over, if you're caught sneaking out, there you go. That's what we need to do. Keep the fucks in.
That's the way
forward. I went on. Sorry,
they'll be fucking off really early to go and get their half and half scarves.
I went on Saturday against Hull, and it was 0-0, and there were people leaving at like 80th minute, and I'm looking around me, and where the block I was sitting in, like it was near enough empty, and you're thinking, the last game against Leicester, you know, we scored a last minute goal. You don't think it could happen now? And people were, streaming out, and I'm sitting in my chair and I'm like literally looking around me thinking, my gosh, like, where's everyone going? No, we didn't play well against Hull, you know, but things can happen in the last minute. And I just found, I really don't understand. You pay, people mind about ticket prices. Why would you not want to get your value for money and stay for the whole game to watch it?
I really don't understand it. And do you think, particularly where you sit in the same seat when you go, don't you, most of the time?
Yeah.
Or the same area. Is it the same faces that you see, or do you not really notice? Is it just the body?
No, you know your season ticket holders, because they're there all the time. And it's the people that try to, and you know why they're leaving, because they don't want a queue to get into Arsenal Station. Getting into Arsenal Station, it takes you a maximum of about 10 minutes. And no plug for London Underground, although we are great. But there's a tube every 3 minutes. Like, you're not going to miss your train. Every 3 minutes, there's a tube, no matter where you're going. So it's not like you're going to have to wait ages for a train. It's not like it's a national world train where the train comes every, like, 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So the advantage of you leaving 10 minutes early and getting in your tube 2 minutes before everyone else makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree. It's one for another 0-0. The way we can really discuss that in depth. But no, I think it's a fair point. It's definitely it definitely doesn't help. And the crowd, I know, noticeably, granted, watching from home, but as soon as that first goal went in, it was almost like everyone just went, oh, okay, well, that's that then. I mean, we all did it, didn't we, in our chat? We all said the same, and it was almost like a pin had gone into the balloon, and everyone just sort of went, oh, well, that's that. And I think Stephen Bannerman said in the commentary that a lot of the fans he was talking to turned up tonight thinking we were going to get pasted. And it's like, well, you know, if you think it, then that's probably what's going to happen. Anyway, another question then. So, we've covered the Welbeck-Giroud question. Does this loss affect the morale for the league from Absmo? I personally don't think so, but we have to go and put in a performance on Sunday, as John said. Bleep blob, interesting. Giroud on the wing, Welbeck up front. Giroud has the ability to create from the wings. Not for me. I get what you're saying, but I don't think he's mobile enough. Arkan Tiger, let's give you this one, Danny. When does El Nene get a chance? Why did we buy him?
Depends on what role you want him to do, because he's a cross between, I suppose he's more of a central midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not really a defensive mid, I'm telling you this, you already know this, but from what I've seen, he has definitely got a goal in him. He likes a shot from distance, he likes to get forward a little bit more, so he's the kind of player that you would replay in the central midfield rather than Ramsey. You wouldn't play him alongside Ramsey, because he's not that kind, unless you want to have two players going forward. But yeah, he's going to be, I think he's more of a replacement for Ramsey. If Ramsey wants to go forward a little bit more, play Ramsey wide, then that's the kind of player he's going to be. Why he hasn't got a game yet? I always believe that when a player joins a club, unless he's a world star, that you leave him on the bench a few games, let him get into the flow of stuff, bring him on as a substitute a few times, which is what is happening. So I don't think it would have made any difference tonight.
No, he wouldn't, and it opens up another box of worms, because people will then say, well, why did we sign a player in January that can't make an impact till the summer? And I get that. And also, as you rightly say, most players take time to adjust. Occasionally, you get somebody that comes in and hits the ground running straight away, and I think he's been bought as a development player when we let three or four go in the summer. I think he's been bought early, so we've got him in. That's my opinion. But
there's a comment here from Accidental Goon, who is a friend of ours. She says, were the Barca protection squad in full force, not blaming the ref for the result? And then after that, she's for, also, if you get on Ozil's back, then Sanchez doesn't get a free pass either. She did that half an hour ago, and I've only just read it.
No, she's so, right, and you know, I don't want to turn this into a, you know, slagging off fest, but no, she is right. I think, you know, Alexis is, we've touched on the fact he's rusty. The one thing I'll say to him is, you know, he did work his bollocks off, so, you know, fair play to that. Another couple of quickies and we'll go. So this one's asked actually directly to you, Danny, so I'll have to give it to you.
Really, I feel otherwise. Popular.
Away day, Oyugu.
I put those hard names in there on purpose for some of them.
Yeah, brilliant. You should have heard me trying to do the Turkish league last night on the pod. Jesus Christ. But Danny, so if you're Arsene, will you sell Ox and Walcott or either or both? Or?
I'd keep the Ox because he hasn't had the life beaten out of him by constant shitty displays. Walcott, I'd sell him as soon as look at him. 25 million, Liverpool have him, play him up front. He'll play every game of the season and score 30 goals a season. Then we'll go, what do we sell him for? I always said he was brilliant.
Yeah, probably.
That's what happened.
Law of the sod, wouldn't it? And I'd keep both, but they've both got to up their game. Theo in particular, I think Ox gets a bit of a pass because, you know, he's a trier, he's a worker, and like John said, I thought he was actually quite good tonight as far as his responsibility goes. It was just his sort of end product that was a bit lacking, but hey ho. Papa John Kakulakuskis, is it stupid to try and risk a 4-4-2 against United, Welbeck and Giroud up top? John, what do you make of that? Because I don't think we'll do it because Arsene is not going to change his formation for one game, but it's not the most bizarre thought I've ever heard.
No, well, I don't have a problem with that. Midfielders used to be able to defend and score goals and run end-to-end all game. Apparently, you can't do that anymore. You can only do one or the other, which is a bit annoying. Elneny is a prime example of someone who actually can do that. So I'd like to see two up front. We won't ever see two up front because it's Wenger won't do it. I think you'll get the best out of Giroud if you did have him up front with another player. The caveat on that I would say is that the system we play, it allows the wide players to come inside into the middle and get in the box. The problem is they don't do it enough when they should do. They should, you know, Giroud always makes the run to the front post. Whatever side the cross is coming in, the winger on the opposite side, winger I say, should be coming in at the back stick, attacking the ball as well in case it goes past Giroud. That's the point of it. The system we play, but we just don't do that enough. I think actually we could play 4-4-2 and pass it around Man United all day long still. Wouldn't make any difference. You could play it sort of as a diamond. And
works for Leicester.
Yeah, you could play it kind of as a diamond because Welbeck tracks back anyway. You could have Ramsey as the sort of the right-hand side of in the diamond and just play it tighter. And the only width we have in our team is from our full-backs anyway, so it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. I still think we could beat United in that formation, but Wenger won't change. Just, he's got his formation, that's how he plays.
Mm, yeah, fair point. Luca Quarter just asked a really good question to me personally. Luca, we probably haven't got the time for me to answer it, but keep that in your brain and maybe tweet it to me and I'll answer it by tweet because it's a good question. But Martin Morgan also asked, was Elneny cup tie for tonight? No, he was available, I believe, because we signed him. He hadn't played in the group stages for Basel, so it was all right from what I can gather. Superb comment Danny's put in here. Paul J, Liverpool fans walk out, club changes ticket policy, Arsenal Fan TV threatens a new song, Arsenal cancel extra price for Barcelona game, fan
I've
power.
Heard that fucking song.
It's
shit the bed. That's why we play so shit. That's why we keep losing. They keep bringing out shit to shut them down.
It's fair to say that it's not mine and John's type of music.
No one's type of music.
What sort of music do you like, Carl? Are you an R&B man? Or are
he's
you
a U2 a... Coldplay man. I can see it in his eyes.
You know what? I like anything. Like, I do. I haven't heard this song. Like, I kind of...
A little bit of Taylor Swift, Carl?
I wouldn't.
Well, you never know. No,
I
no.
Like, wait.
ten out of ten for them having the brass to put it out there. Fair play to them because, you know, it takes a lot of bollocks to put that on the internet for
no,
people.
No, it is a load of bollocks. Not it takes a load.
I'll be polite, it's not my cup of tea, but, you know, yeah.
I'm intrigued now, I'm going to have to listen to this now.
No, don't. You'll end up fast-forwarding it just to see where they did it.
It's a little bit cringe. It's a little bit cringe, but anyway, yeah, okay. I think that'll do us, won't it? I think we've had enough to moan at. Danny will have a pod on Thursday. Yes. No idea who's on it,
Me, Gimli, I think Jeff Arsenal and one other.
Yes.
We're going to be trying to make them a little bit shorter. So if you lovely people have iTunes, go and give us a little tickle on the iTunes rating, because in three years, we've only had 36 reviews.
Boo.
You can do that in an afternoon. So go on, go and give it some love.
I think, isn't Jace due? Jace is due soon, isn't he?
Oh, he's always busy. He's busy sorting shit out now, so who knows.
What about the Aussie? We haven't heard from Dom for a while.
He's in quarantine. He's got South Americaitis.
He's healing the world one member at a time. But yeah, I'm sure he'll be back. And I have rumours that a certain Canadian is going to tune in at some point as well, Danny, I think.
Oh, yes, he said maybe in March he might be join us for one or two. It's really hard because they're like 8 or 9 hours away from us. So when we do it at 7 o'clock at night, it's going to be midday for some of them. So it's almost impossible to get them on. That's why you very rarely see Schrader, Dom, or OG on anything other than maybe this occasionally. But it doesn't matter. They all get by.
They got real jobs, but yeah. Well, we'll be back on Sunday, come wind or rain or shine. Carl, you're back with me again on Sunday, aren't you?
I am indeed. Yeah.
As is Mr. Canton, and I'm sure we'll dig up somebody else from some graveyard of Google
Hangouts.
Miscreants, yes. We'll have somebody on, and just because I can, I'm going to plug my own podcast because I can. So. Fuck you all. Myself, John, Tom and Drew do a podcast as well. You probably heard it, but Football Hipsters podcast. It's not Arsenal bias, even though we're all Arsenal fans. We cover all the major leagues across Europe and we have a little bit of a giggle. So have a look at that. If you like football and you like other leagues, give us a listen. Danny, anything else you want to mention, ABW-wise? Anything you want to...
The prediction league, I think a few of us got a few points. It's between Raj and Jeff Arsenal at the moment. There are only 5 points between them. Actually, no, I think there's less because Jeff predicted a 1-1. I think Raj predicted a loss. Oh, yeah. So there's only 4 points between them. So that's wonderful. I'm not sure if there's any blogs coming up because all the bloggers are all busy doing whatever bloggers do. So,
I'm still writing one. I just haven't got around to finishing it.
You're insisting on colouring it in with crayons, aren't you?
True. I keep eating the crayons.
Yeah, I was about to say he was eating them.
Yeah, I'll give it to OG as soon as I'll try and get it finished in the next couple of days. But I'm sure, knowing OG, I'm sure he's got plenty in the works from people. So
he has.
Keep it tuned to the at the Bergie blogs and stuff will come out eventually. And yeah, so Gimli will be back on Thursday with Danny. Puppyless, sadly. Myself and Carl will be back on Sunday after Man United. It's an early kickoff, isn't it?
Yeah.
2 o'clock.
It's two.
Five past two.
Well, maybe, Dan, if you're awake, maybe you could drag yourself.
Is it on BT?
No, Sky.
Oh, Sky. Sky. That means I have to get up to watch it then, because I can only get BT in my bedroom on Chromecast. Oh, so 2 o'clock. You never know. They're going to probably lose, so I won't bother.
If we lose, I'll be pissed. We can't beat the Man United. Like, they have been shit poor. You know, their players are going to be tired as well because they played quite a strong team against Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play a strong team against whatever that team is. I can't even pronounce
Matalan.
It. They're going to have to play because they're 2-1 down, aren't they?
They
have to play a strong team. So come Sunday, you know, hopefully they're going to be excited.
Yeah. Don't forget Spurs are out of the FA Cup.
Obviously, so you know what to do, listeners. If you want Danny on Sunday, then just constantly barrage him with tweets between now and Sunday.
There will be one bit of tumbleweed now you've said that.
Yeah, there'll be at least 3 people tweeting you now as we speak.
So I've got to say hello to Mr. Funky Dino. I apparently was happy that I was on because I was going to have a moan.
Yeah, okay. And hello to Jason Isaacs as well.
Hey.
Right, that's us done. So ABW Radio out again. We'll be back on Sunday. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, John. Thank you, Carl.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Keep it Arsenal. Keep the faith, boys and girls. It's one competition, and we didn't win a wonderful fucking Champions League anyway, did we? Fuck it. We'll speak to you on Sunday after we've. We'll speak to you Sunday. Bye bye.
Bye bye. I believe in miracles.
sex a thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sex a thing. Sex a thing.